Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Small, though.
Yeah. Tiny.
What's that?
When it was just talking about Dominique, smaller corner. Mm-hmm. A smaller guy.
I'm so impressed. Like, yeah. When I see the fact that Jay, I bring this up from time to time, is 6'2 and was the number two pick in the draft is incredible.
With shoes, yes.
It's the level of athlete Jay Will is, people don't even understand. 7 billion people on Earth. The percentage of people 6'2 who ever play in the NBA is a percentage of the world's population of people 6'2 is almost nothing. And to be not just a player, but the number two pick, it's insane. When I see someone Dominique Foxworth size, playing in the NFL, mm-hmm. a defensive position where you got to hit and get hit, I'm amazed.
There's some dudes smaller than Neek that play.
No doubt. Neek is not quite as small as you. Like, Neek is...
He's small, but there's some dudes smaller.
Yeah. He's
a smaller defensive back.
It's more so the understanding, like, when you were like, hey, are you a pile inspector or things like that? Like, Neek's like, well, I couldn't be. Like, that's how I had to get my checks. Like, I have to in the trenches, right, yeah. Doing all that dirty stuff at that size. Like, that speaks volumes about what people are willing to sacrifice to get there.
Yeah, you diving in them piles when you're little like that. You got 340, 350-pound dudes pulling at you.
Oh, Lord.
That's why when we see the best of the best, it's like, hold on, that dude is the biggest, got the fastest twitchies, and does all the dirty work. Those dudes are rare, hard to come by. Those are the greatest of the greatest, right?
Yeah. And went to Harvard, what?
Well, yeah, Neek went to Harvard. Well, he's Harvard Business, I think.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones, son of the owner, Jerry Jones. And you know, guys, nepotism in business is supposed to make you worse, but these dudes draft. I got to tip my cap to the Jones family. On 105.3 The Fan in Dallas on Monday, asked if the Cowboys' division lead allows them to be more cautious with Dak Prescott.
I don't necessarily know that it's because we got a healthy lead in the East. I think it's more just the full body of work, as you mentioned. There's knowing that we've got a long season in front of us. I have 11 games left to play. And, you know, at the end of the day, we got to make what's in the best interest of Dak Prescott.
That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Key, what should the Cowboys do with Dak?
They should play him. If he's healthy and ready to go, you play him. You don't mess around. This is about seeding. They have an opportunity to potentially get a first-round bye. They're going to win the division. But do you want to win the division and be the sixth seed? Or do you want to win the division and be the first seed? I mean, like...
Only one bye per conference.
It's only one bye. He can rest when we get the bye. Because the injury is not that severe any damn way. It's just not. And I don't think people are really looking at it. They're sitting there saying, well, he's got an injury. He should rest. Rest for what? I just gave this dude $200 million, man.
Well, I think a lot of people get concerned considering of the injury he came off. When you hear lower extremity injury, people are like, you want to put him in bubble wrap. Look, if Dak feels like he's good to go, let him go. I don't want to see this offense lose their mojo and chemistry. I saw what it was last year without Dak. If he can be there, if he can go, let that thing keep on revving up.
If you decide to sit him down, Jay, what is that going to do for you? You lose that game. You're falling behind. If you get a lead and you up and you're up by 17 points in the late fourth quarter and you want to sub somebody in, yeah, you could do that. But you certainly better start that dude and play him.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, okay? The Dak is coming off a bye. So if you rest him again, you have the longest rest you can give him for a guy with a type of injury, like a tissue injury that takes a little bit of time to get better. So the idea is you're gunning for the number one seed in the conference, right? Forget about the NFC East. You got that already. We know that.
As
you said, Key, that bye is huge. It can determine a Super Bowl winner. You're gunning for the bye by getting the one seed. Maybe you have a better chance to get it even if you lose this game because you have a Dak that's closer to 100% for the rest of the season.
No. Y'all talking like fans and not like players and coaches.
Well,
You can't.
But I am.
He will be underneath the center come Sunday, and he will play, and he will do well, and they will rest him at the end of the game. That's just it.
I wouldn't flirt with that game, man. It's at Minnesota, too. Like, that's a
– You can't be messing
Minnesota's
around.
Minnesota's one of those tricky teams.
Exactly.
We'll be talking about
to get to the quarterback
exactly.
a lot.
All of a sudden, you lose to Minnesota. Minnesota goes on a hot streak. Now you lost to them head-to-head.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot
– You can't predict the future, what's going to happen, but you can stack the deck in your favor as much as possible. And I like, Key, when you say rest when you get the bye, if you go get the bye, right? That's interesting. But maybe – but what I'm saying is – Are you more likely to get that bye where you can rest him again? Are you more likely to get it by sitting him down and making sure he's closer to full strength?
No, because he's at full strength now.
Okay.
Everybody's nicked up, banged up throughout the season.
Yeah, they're not playing tiddlywinks. They're playing football.
You don't think Tom Brady is hurting in some places right now?
Oh, yeah, his thumb. His thumb hurt.
Oh, well,
yeah,
there you go.
He played
through it.
Yeah, the thumb injury.
And he had an ACL. He had a knee sprain or something that he had to get – a light little operation on in the offseason. Last year, he played the entire year and won the Super Bowl.
Now, I don't think he would do it at all because I know Dak is as a player and as a competitor. But what happens if Dak were to say, hey, I might need one?
Yeah, you know, this ain't basketball, Jay. You get your tail on the field and you
I'm
play.
I'm just curious.
There is no low.
If I were to Dak and you were
there's no low,
Mr. Jones, I was like,
games.
Look, man,
look,
if I just doesn't feel right.
Actually,
something's here.
Actually,
if I get one.
No, what key? What you just said?
One. It's an ice tub in there. Go get that.
What you just said? There's only 17 games. In fact, for a sport as violent as football,
there are
now 17 regular season games.
And
it's
then
a
in
marathon.
The future, there'll be 18.
Yeah, it's
and
a
then
marathon.
By the time you're 80, there might be 19.
And you know what? At a certain point, you're going to in the CBA. Players are only going to be allowed to play 17 of the 18 or 17 of the 19.
Oh well. Cross that bridge when we get to it. For right now,
for right now, I'm going to need your ass on the field.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm not claiming. I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm not like there is a lot to be said for the example you set. What did Messier say on this show? Mark Messier said yesterday, leadership. It's not just about motivating someone else. It's about inspiring them to be their best self, right? So Dak Prescott going out there, starting the game is inspirational on top of everything else. And it's also expected in the NFL, right? I'm not saying that it's a cut and dried case. I'm not even arguing the other side, really, but I am exploring the other side of this. Coming off a bye, you give him one more rest against a very good defense in terms of getting to the quarterback. Boy, that's as healthy as he's going to be the rest of the way.
I just don't see Dak doing that. I've never taken Dak as a guy that would take a day off.
But you don't.
Even if you recommended it.
But the only way you take a day off is when you get to the end of the season.
When things are already secure.
Everything's secure. Yeah. Then at that point, you start to take a look at a handful of players that may need to rest up. And as they rest up, then that's when you say, okay, you can do something different.
Is the football that you know, Key, that you came up in and that you believe in, because the tried and true ways they're tried and true for a reason. But are there changing circumstances that you have already experienced or that you think could change your attitude about certain things that you now believe in football? In other words, is the classic way to do all this stuff already set and you think it's as good as it's going to get? Or are there new things to be learned, like as seasons get longer, in terms of resting players?
I think it's the same. Coaches in players, when I play, it's the same as it is now. It's the same as it is. If you can play, you play. And if you're banged up and you cannot play, you don't play. My nephew played last year on two bad ankles when he missed the majority of the season. But he played because he could play. He just wasn't effective because of the ankles.
Yeah.
So when you can get out there, you get out there and
you play. It's the nature of a full contact sport like football. Been one of the most one-sided rivalries in college football, and one person who keeps winning is here to pile on.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, on your smart speakers, wherever you get your podcasts. We welcome in now. Host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, the great Paul Feinbaum. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear the Paul Feinbaum Show, of course, weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network and the ESPN app. Good morning, Paul.
Max, how are you?
Doing well now. Good to see you. I want to jump right into this with you because you've been extremely soft on criticism of Jim Harbaugh through the years. So, So best friend to Jim Harbaugh,
you know,
people are wondering, is the relationship interfering with the commentary or showing favoritism there? It doesn't surprise such a big Michigan fan like you that that they're ranked sixth in the country, right?
Yeah, and good for them. And all the credit goes to the all-knowing Jim Harbaugh because, you know, he has handled this year very well. He's been quiet. He hasn't taken his team to Normandy or to the Vatican or, you know, to see the Queen, which is good, which he did the first couple of years. He's concentrated on football, and I think he is now showing us the Jim Harbaugh that we thought he would be coming from the NFL. And, you know, Max, he went to the Super Bowl, played his brother. He went to championship games, and he was really a good coach. And I think now the season begins, though. He plays Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State, and how he navigates that trio is going to determine really what we end up thinking about Jim Harbaugh. And remember, a year ago, he was clearly on the hot seat. The university came in and slashed his salary, and, you know, he took that in good spirit, I guess, and has done a really good job. But, you know, Saturday is the beginning of it. It's not the end. The end is Ohio State. That's how Jim Harbaugh ultimately will be determined, how he will be, we will decide on whether we think he has been a successful coach at Michigan or not. He is yet to beat the Buckeyes.
Paul, we talk about the beginning for Michigan starts on Saturday, but the beginning also starts for Mel Tucker, who has done a tremendous job at somewhat revitalizing Michigan State's program after he backdoored the Colorado program a couple years ago, leaving after that golf tournament. What has gotten him in this position that he's in now?
Well, I think he's taken advantage, like Michigan, of a reasonably, I wouldn't call it an easy schedule, Keyshawn, but a palatable schedule, and he's made the most out of it. But, you know, people want to talk about Mel Tucker bailing out on Colorado. I don't blame him. They were not paying him much. They were not supporting him, and he found a place that would support him to the max. And Keyshawn, you can probably guess where I'm going next. That's why he is a hot coach right now, even though he's only been there 2 years and last year, you know, wasn't great.
Are you listening to my phone conversations?
I was, as a matter of fact. I hate to have to admit this, that I've got a NSA tap on your line. But, and by the way, that was the tamest of the conversations that you had yesterday, Keyshawn.
Oh, God. Sneaky Paul.
Hey, Paul, Alabama jumped over both Oklahoma and Cincinnati in the AP polls this week. How important will it be for Oklahoma and Cincy's playoff hopes that their wins are more convincing heading down the stretch of the season?
Jay, well, I think it's more important for Cincinnati to have style points than Oklahoma. Oklahoma plays in the Big 12, and they have, you know, been in every game. I mean, when they're trailing Kansas, I mean, Kansas is a joke, and we're talking football here, Jay. Will, and the idea that they would, you know, be in a game on the road in Lawrence, it was unbelievable. But Cincinnati was terrible the other day. They got out. maybe with a win. But I walked away not feeling very good about Cincinnati. And I've had them, you know, number two in the country a couple weeks ago. But I'm getting very skittish on them. And they need to perform because, you know, they can't sell us on beating SMU and, you know, getting Houston later on. That's not going to impress the country, and it may not impress this committee that starts meeting this coming weekend. So I think they're vulnerable, and especially because you have teams like Ohio State playing so well right now with one loss. You have other teams that could be knocking on the door with one loss. So, you know, Cincinnati better watch out.
All right, Paul, it's that time of year as coaches need to address their names, you know, mentioned for certain jobs. Let's listen to how Mike Tomlin, I don't know if people heard about, he's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, won a Super Bowl, never been under 500, yes. No matter what. How Mike Tomlin addressed rumors that he could be in the mix for the head coaching job at USC.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? Anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
Your thoughts, Paul.
Virtuoso. It was brilliant. That's how you answer a question. You don't give the, there's not an opening and I love my job and, you know, I just bought a ranch in Waco. I mean, that's how you shut it down. And quite frankly, I don't know how, I mean, I know where it came from. I believe, you had a right to ask him that question. But what I don't understand, guys, and I used to be in the newspaper business, is where some of these people come up with some of these names. There's no way you come up with that name. You just have people calling, you know, agents calling people in the media and throwing things against the wall. And that's why Mike Tomlin did what he did. And I'm glad he did it, because it's a template for how to answer stupid questions, not to be snarky, but be declarative. I mean, why would I want – I mean, he's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a much better job, all due respect, Keyshawn, than your little college out there in Los Angeles. It just doesn't compute, and I'm really glad to see it, because I hope coaches will follow that in the future, because that's how you do it, as opposed to namby-pamby answers.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I'm not offended at all, because I also – know the reality of Mike Tomlin going to any college whatsoever, because it's not going to happen. I mean, it just, and they, like you said, you got to ask the question, because that's just part of it. If he was, for whatever reason, to be away from Pittsburgh, not coaching anymore, it wouldn't be enough private planes landing in Pittsburgh to pick him up to interview him on somebody's tarmac in somebody's hangar to sign a contract to go coach another football team.
Jay, nothing Paul, to worry about. Key, I want everyone to listen to how James Franklin addressed those exact same questions. Let's listen to the Penn State head coach.
Yeah, you know, obviously I've been asked this question multiple times, and you know, my focus is completely on Illinois and this team and this program. I think I've shown over my 8 years my commitment to this university and this community, and that's kind of my statement.
Paul,
big difference.
Thoughts there? I mean, he's not the head coach of one of the most storied professional franchises ever, but what do you think about the way James Franklin answered that?
But he's the head coach of a very prestigious school. I'll be happy to translate it, Max. You heard Mike Tomlin. I've given you that answer. Here's what James Franklin is saying. Yeah, I'm available. I'm going to say some BS to satisfy my AD down the hallway and my PR guy who's outside my door like a chihuahua panting so I get this answer right. But if you want to call me, you know where to go. My agent's available. I just changed agents the other day. So my guy's in Memphis, Tennessee, area code 901-685-1234. Give him a call. And if you pay me $9 million a year, I'll be on the first plane out of this little town here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, by the way, you wonder like how quickly, though, that stops working, since, as you know, the AD knows what you know and that they're giving them the hey, yeah, call me answer. By the way, listen to the first 5 seconds of the answer again, Paul, and tell me what you think.
Yeah, you know, obviously I've been asked this question multiple times, and you know, my focus is completely on Illinois.
Hmm.
Well, they don't play Illinois.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah. Let me say this, and I'm a talk show host. I'm not a jury consultant, but when you start off an answer by saying, "Yeah, you know the rest of it doesn't matter. The rest of it's not true. The rest of it is total malarkey." So that's just my impression here from my little man cave.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you this, though.
Before we move on, I just want to point out, he says his focus is on the team he just played instead of the team he's about to play. He's totally played himself. His focus is on just played. He's got a game coming up against Ohio State. His focus is not on Ohio State.
Well, he's trying to dodge, though. He's got a lot of things going on, Paul. He just hired a new agent.
Listen, when you start misleading people, it's Max. It's hard to keep up with the truth. I mean, you know, I would love to see him strapped up to a lie detector test as that answer starts. Can you imagine? It would look like you're having a coronary.
But Paul, what would have been the right way you would have liked to hear him answer that question if he were open to it? Like, you know, we talk about, hey, Mike Tomlin was very declarative, right? Like,
yeah, the best way to say is, listen, I've already answered that. Even if you haven't answered the question, just say you I mean, he addressed this a couple of weeks ago with another speech. The best answer is, I appreciate it. I respect your question. I answered it 4 or 5 weeks ago. I'm getting ready, and then look down to make sure you know who you're playing on Saturday.
Paul, when we talk about James Franklin, in particular at USC, we've hired 3 different head coaches since his tenure at Penn State. And every single year his name keeps coming up, whatever, with job openings. What's the better job for him? LSU or USC, giving his background in regions he's coached in?
I think he would be better off going to USC because, to me, you know, he's a CEO coach. And I don't mean that as a shot. That means that he is in command of the program. And I think at SC, you know, he's already got people on that staff, Keyshawn, as you well know better than I do, who he could keep in place and maintain recruiting and relationships. Where LSU is a maze. You go down there, it's a different world. And you know, I think, you know, you hear the word fit all the time, but I think he's a better fit out there. Because it, you know, I think he would relate well to that city. You know, he would need to clean up some of his, you know, some of his misleading statements, because, you know, that won't, you know, in Hollywood, you have to do it a lot. You have to do it bigger and better and broader than be obvious that you're not telling the truth.
Yeah. He also referred to Penn State making a trip to the Big House. They play at Ohio State, not Michigan. No, I got it wrong twice.
Hey, let me say this in fairness to James Franklin. I felt the same way after watching that 9 overtime game the other day with Illinois. So I'm going to cut him some slack having to coach in it. I don't think he's probably thinking clearly in the aftermath.
No, that's very generous of you, Paul Feinbaum.
We're getting Mike Tomlin anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. What do you care?
Belichick. Hey.
Go get Belichick. Ask Belichick the question at the press conference. That's Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up and the fans are hyped. Crack open an ice cold Dr. Pepper. Slap on a fresh coat of face paint and return to glory with an all new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Thank you, Paul Feinbaum.
All right, Paulie.
Much more on Mike Tomlin's comments, and we'll find out if it's hot news or not news. That's after SportsCenter.
And now the 2-0 and a swing and a ball hit to deep left field, and Atlanta strikes early. Soler lines a rocket into the Crawford boxes, and three pitches into Game 1 of the World Series, the Braves have a 1-0 lead.
You heard from Dan Shulman on ESPN Radio as Jorge Soler makes the World Series makes World Series history in the Braves 6-2 Game 1 win over the Astros. Soler became the first player to lead off Game 1 of the World Series with a home run ever. Never happened before. Atlanta needed 6 2/3 innings from their bullpen after starter Charlie Morton fractured his fibula when he was hit in the right ankle by a 102.4-mile-an-hour one-hopper in the second inning. Morton will miss the remainder of the World Series against his old team. Game 2 is tonight on ESPN Radio, presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And without LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis rallied the Lakers for a 125-121 overtime win against the Spurs. Westbrook finished with 33 and 10 boards, and AD had 35 points and 17 boards. The duo combined for 14 points on a 17-4 run in the fourth quarter. AD also bumped knees in the closing minute of regulation while attempting to rebound a missed free throw, and head coach Frank Vogel said the Lakers will see how sore Davis's right knee is before deciding whether he will play Thursday at Dallas. Meantime, two-time World Player of the Year Carly Lloyd signed off on her international career in emphatic style on Tuesday's 6-0 win over South Korea. Lloyd's resume includes a pair of World Cup titles and Olympic gold medals. She scored 134 goals, including three in the opening 16 minutes of the U.S. victory in the 2015 Women's World Cup Final. I'm talking about these stories and more on This Just In today at 2 p.m. on ESPN. SportsCenter is brought to you by Barbasol. Feeling great starts with a great shave, and great shaves start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic for over 100 years. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. Oh, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are graced with the presence of Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. What's going on, Kimberly?
Hey. What's going on?
Nice to see you as always.
Hi, Key. What's going on? Why you look so dour? What's up, buddy?
I'm chilling. I'm just chilling. I'm zen, you know? I'm like chill
right
now. Yeah.
Oh, is this
I'm
a new like, thing? Key is zen?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Happens sometimes
I'm
early in the morning.
I'm disappointed we didn't get Mike Tomlin as our head coach.
Yeah, that's what he's
that's what he's really upset about.
What could have been?
Asked
what,
how come you don't smile. He said everything's fine, but I'm in a New York state of mind, which sometimes puts him in a bad state
of mind.
Well,
look at the clouds.
See? Kimberly A. Martin is here giving the straight talk, as she always does, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Kimberly, hot news or not news? Mike Tomlin's shutting down speculation of him coaching in college.
Guys, this is hot news. Do you see how disappointed Keyshawn is? Do you see? I mean, Keyshawn was very excited. It's hot news from the standpoint of he was so emphatic, and we saw all the head swivel and the neck. I mean, he looked like me up there with the like facial expressions. But no, it's good that he shut it down, and it's great audio for us and visual, so I like it.
It was hot news, like Kim says, but if he doesn't want us, fine. We don't want him either. No, it's like I get it. The question had to be asked, Jay, but in the end, Mike Tomlin is not going to college football no matter what. Like he said, there is not a booster with a big enough check because they're not going to pay him $15 million a year. So it doesn't matter.
It's hot news to me just because how declarative he was in his statement, right? Like demonstrative, like how you say something matters. And we just came back from playing the James Franco sound, right, to playing the Mike Tomlin sound. Two contrasting styles there. One makes you believe he's not going anywhere. The other one's like, I'm open for possibilities.
James Franklin's looking for a job. Yes. Mike Tomlin's not.
Alan Lazard joins Devontae Adams on the COVID list, not playing against Arizona. Huge loss. Hot news or not news?
Do we even need to ask? This is so hot. So hot. Because this is a Packers team that we know how great Aaron Rodgers is. We know. But to not have his number one weapon, to not have his number two, three, you know, this is a big deal, especially when you're going on the road to face a Cardinals team that's undefeated, which I just saw over the weekend beat the Chiefs. So
yeah, it's hot news. The Cardinals are rolling right now, and they want to continue to get to 8-0 and be the number one seed in the NFC conference. And so when you're Aaron Rodgers and you don't have your weapons, especially Lazard along with Devontae Adams and Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, won't be there either. So when we've seen teams miss players or coaches like this, they wind up losing games.
I saw Arizona lose a lot of people, and they won their game. All I'm saying is when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's why it's so important to have a quarterback of that ilk, Kimberly, because the line didn't even move. The line's still at 6.5.
Why?
Because Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. There we go.
I'll say this. It's hot news, and it's a bummer because when two conference powerhouses meet, first of all, it's on a short week. Already you're like, what am I going to really learn from this game? It's not like on regular rest because in the playoffs, you're going to get more rest. And now it's like the Packers are shorthanded. The interesting result would be a Packers upset, right? That would be the interesting result. Hot news or not news, the Washington football team report will not be released, according to Commissioner Roger Goodell, Kimberly Martin.
It's hot news from the standpoint of the fact that a lawyer representing 40 former Washington employees literally contradicted Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell said it's not going to be a written report's not going to be released because we're trying to protect the identity of some of the people who came forward and spoke. And a lawyer representing 40 former employees are saying that's false. So I think the NFL, clearly Roger Goodell is saying we did our due diligence. Dan Snyder's been punished appropriately. But clearly there's a lack of trust within the NFL community.
Yeah, it's hot news because there are people not only in the NFL community but outside the NFL community. They want to know what it is. Like, what are you protecting? Yes, you can redact names, no question about it, out of there. It's very easy to do. All you do is black it out.
Preach.
And the names go away. And the information that's in there is just probably information that the NFL doesn't want not only the public to get, but other people in the league and outside the league.
It's hot news to me just because when other information just happens to get leaked and nobody figures out where the information comes from, and now this one's going to a public statement, we're concealing it. You're like, we just saw that, and now this is interesting to me.
It's hot news, and Key, you said it. I mean, you can redact names. Yes. That's weak sauce right there.
Like
to say.
Nothing. They're not releasing anything. Not even pieces. Not even drips. No.
And here's why it's such hot news. Now we're left to draw the inevitable conclusion that it's so bad certain people in the NFL that they don't want the public to know otherwise.
1,000%.
Why not? And they can't complain about that conclusion being drawn because that's what reasonable people are going to think.
Yeah, we see it all the time. John Doe 1, John Doe 2,
come on.
John Doe 3. You know, it's just...
As soon as Keith said redact, come on, we've all seen it when it's blacked out, this and that. It ain't that hard, people. It ain't that hard. Hot news or not news, Kimberly Martin. Roger Goodell also said they don't have enough information to make disciplinary decision yet on Deshaun Watson.
So this might, aside from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers situation, this might be the hottest news to me because... Teams clearly want Deshaun Watson because of his talent, but you don't – like, no reasonable team can give up significant draft capital without any sort of assurances as to how are these criminal charges going to be resolved? Will he be suspended? How long he'll be suspended? So the fact that the NFL doesn't have enough information yet, and you know that teams are out there wanting him, it's hot news because why would you give up so much for a guy when there's so much uncertainty?
It is hot news, but I wonder if the organizations, the FBI, the Houston Police Department, the investigators as a whole, are reluctant to turn over the information to the NFL. Like, they don't want to give the NFL anything until they come to the conclusion, the decision as to what they want to do. Instead, I wonder if they're working in conjunction at all with the NFL. They're basically saying to the NFL, you stand on that side because we don't trust y'all.
You hope it'll be a separate investigation. Kimberly A. Martin, if you were the owner of a team, would you trade for Deshaun Watson?
Right now, no. No. And that's the problem because winning trumps everything in the NFL. But at some point, you do have to draw the line because I don't know if this man is innocent or guilty. But the fact that I don't know and we don't know and this hasn't even been figured out and resolved, how do you in good conscience invest so much capital at this position? Because you'd be setting your franchise back if he is not allowed to play, if worse, criminally he's charged.
I think it all depends on what am I giving you, like, as an owner? Like, what am I giving up? Because as you said, winning trumps everything. So as an owner, what am I giving up?
Yeah, and that'll tell you a lot about what they feel is going to be the outcome. You see a second round pick. Oh, they think it's a lottery ticket. You see two firsts and this and that. You're like, oh, they think he's going to be all right. Yeah, that's Keyshawn. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
At least you got my
We're presented Kimberly by Progressive Insurance. That is Kimberly A. Martin. How's that for some straight talk? Hey,
Dushan.
Thank you, Kimberly, as always. The best wide receiver quarterback duo for the next 5 years. Buckle up, Cincinnati. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Okay. Here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, before we get to take the field, we are asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, what's the toughest thing you've seen on the field of play? Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, let's get to take the field. Evan.
Yeah, and we're asking that question because obviously Charlie Morton last night pitched. We don't know how long he pitched on it, but pitched with a fractured fibula as the Braves took game one of the World Series. So, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase or the field to be the best quarterback wide receiver combo over the next 5 years in the NFL.
Want to set that off, Key?
I'm going to say the field. The next 5 years, I'm going to say the field because there's a lot of wide receiver combinations. You still got Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf up north. You still got
Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams
in Buffalo. You still got Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston eventually hook up. You still got Davante. You still got everything in Arizona. So I'll just say the field.
I'll say the field as well. But damn, it's going to be
Cup
close.
And Stafford.
It's going to be
close.
You guys
are missing the biggest one, maybe, if they can stay together.
Dak Prescott.
Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. I mean, my Lord. I'll say this. You got to take the field because there are too many great combinations.
Yeah, too many combinations.
Because there's always an injury risk in football. And if you're taking one combination, either one of those guys get hurt, there it goes. It's the field automatically. All right, what else we got, Evan?
Derrick Henry or the field to be the next non-quarterback to win the MVP. No non-quarterback has won the MVP since Adrian Peterson. So Derrick Henry or the field to be the next non-quarterback to win the MVP?
I'm going to say the field. And the reason I'm going to say the field is because they want to give it to the quarterbacks. Derrick Henry's having an amazing season. He's going to continue to have an amazing season. But I don't know that he can continue to rush for 2,000 yards every single year. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But quarterbacks are going to constantly be doing what they do, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar. It's just, you know, it's only one Derrick Henry. It's only one.
I'll take Derrick Henry on this one, man. I mean, he dropped back to throw a pass versus the Chiefs. He's like, look, if you're not going to give it to me, maybe I'll throw a touchdown. The numbers he's putting up are just ridiculous, and I don't know. I want to see him get one.
But the problem is this year he won't get it because they're going to give it to a quarterback. Just that's the reality.
Well, that's what it comes down to.
Next year, is he going to rush for two? Is he going to rush for
what happens if they come on late and they come on strong?
No, yeah, that's and I think the question when you start to think about it is, will he win the MVP this year? Probably I think not. The odds are against him winning the MVP this year.
Against him.
And then, because he's not a pass catcher like a McCaffrey or a Saquon or a Kamara.
Can he rush for 2,300 yards next year?
Again, after taking – now, look, Derrick Henry is so special, so, he might break the mold. Maybe the answer is yes, but I would take the field.
Three straight 2,000-yard seasons?
Come on, but if someone's going to do it, it might be him.
So if Tom Brady – say Dak Prescott kind of falls to the wayside, same with Kyler Murray. Right, and you got Tom Brady in that conversation.
Yeah, he might win the MVP this year.
Derrick Henry in that conversation. It's still
no, no. Jay, I agree. He might win the MVP this year, but the odds are against it. Still, it's under 50-50. And then eventually, another running back's going to win the MVP. Right?
Yeah. It's against him because there's too many quarterbacks ahead of him.
Yeah,
there's like six quarterbacks before you really get to Derrick Henry.
And when they give someone the MVP, if he doesn't get it this year, it'll be an all-world pass catcher. He's kind of a wideout. He's kind of a running back.
And he won't even get MVP. He'll get Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be but it's an interesting question.
Which is what Henry won last year.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. He has a chance to win it this year.
We've talked about the decline, the downfall of Patrick Mahomes. But
jeez.
Patrick Mahomes or the field to win the most MVPs over the next 5 years?
Mahomes. I'll take Mahomes. I don't have to wait on that one.
The field.
I'll go to field.
The field. Like, again, same situation when you're talking about Derrick Henry. There's so many quarterbacks, whether it's a Justin Herbert emerging, whether all of a sudden it's Josh Allen continuing to do things, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Tommy Brady. I mean, it's just so many. It's just hard, man. It's all
but we're not saying add them all up. We're saying take one quarterback. He's going to win more MVPs than Mahomes in the next 5 years.
Wait, the question isn't that. That's not the question.
Yeah, right. He's not saying the field will win. Of course, the field's going to win more MVPs. He's saying of every quarterback in the field.
Repeat the question, Evan.
So Patrick Mahomes or the field to win the most MVPs over the next 5 years. So as Max is saying, yes.
The field.
He's saying
so someone else will win more MVPs over Patrick Mahomes is what you're saying.
Oh, another quarterback.
Another single quarterback.
Oh, you're saying another
but it could be any one of them.
So the field is a single quarterback.
Yeah, you explained it wrong, man. I'm thinking you're talking about all the quarterbacks are
combined.
No, I'm sorry. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I'm not sure Mahomes doesn't win the MVP this year. It's just very early in the season still. Let's see.
I would say, with that case, then I'll say Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because he's got two in him the next five.
Yeah, at least one. Yeah.
Justin Herbert's coming, boys.
Oh, he is.
He's coming, man. He ain't going to be far off. I'll still go Patrick Mahomes, but
Lamar, Kyler.
They're people who are coming. They're right there.
This guy here, Evan, if he's going to do these questions, he's got to do a better job.
Yeah, it leaves a lot of wiggle room.
Come on now, Evan. Let's go.
Max got it right away. Max got it right away.
Yes, but I'm a super genius, Evan. It's not fair to compare me to just to anybody. Right,
now I know why Mike Tomlin doesn't want USC's job.
I don't even
want
to respond.
That's next on KJM on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
This just in.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.